Good morning. Great morning, fiancés. Welcome.
Yo.
I felt like, I don't know why I felt like it was like a newscaster. You were someone walking across the street behind me. So, yeah. Like you.
I am on the city streets of New York City right now. Yelling at the Today Show.
You.
Good morning, fiancés. That's what I'm yelling.
That's what you're yelling. Morning, y'all. Happy Thursday. You know?
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, woo! Yeah. Yeah, made it. Woo, yeah.
We made it. You made it. You made it to another Thursday morning with us. So let's be grateful for that. Shout out to everybody on their way to work. Shout out.
Bruh, are y'all in the car already?
But an extra shout out to everyone still in bed listening. Because that's what I'd love to be doing. If we could produce the show from the bed and just have the microphones and our laptops, is that the life?
Not for me.
Oh.
No. No. Like, not even a little bit do I want to lay in bed with a microphone.
All right.
I watched Bobby Althoff, if that's how you say her name.
Yeah.
Do that with Drake. And that looks unfortunate.
What if they had booms where you don't have to have your
still unfortunate.
Nothing.
You know how awkward you have to be in the bed to look like you're actually having a conversation? Like, there's no...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that wouldn't be the point. The point if that you're saying is there wouldn't be a camera there.
No cameras.
But yeah, no, I get in bed and I'm like going to sleep.
That's what bed's for.
It's yeah, for I don't anything. Have the lay around in bed, and I really wish I did, but I don't have it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm laying in bed, I'm going to sleep. Is it 6 p.m. and you laid on the bed? Like, I'm not, there's no.
I mean, that's its true purpose, so, you know.
If I wake up and I stay in the bed, I'm going back to sleep, even if I feel like I'm awake. You throw a movie on. It's happening.
Okay. It's like, why be in the kitchen if you're not cooking? You're just kicking it in the kitchen.
There was something about that that sounded not okay. But I'm going to.
Oh, let me smooth it out. Ladies, why be in the kitchen if you're not cooking?
See?
That makes the first one sound not so bad. Huh?
Sounds worse. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, I felt that yo in my bones. It felt like, how are we all still here on this mortal plane? It's literally that. We will just add the fiance bed in to the brainstorm list. No, we're not. No, we're not. I don't need you guys. Nope. I will fall asleep.
Fiance ASMR. It's just Morgan. Heating pad, vibrating heating pad, and then her turning left and right throughout the night. I just record it. And we'll see what happens. Put it in the Patreon.
My face right now.
Yo, that heating pad. Listen, okay, so first off, this is like elite heating pad. There may be something above it, and we're just unaware.
And we just don't know it.
Yeah.
This is the most luxurious heating pad I've ever owned in my life.
Bruh,
shout out to
weighted. Brie. Oh, the Brie?
Yeah, Brie got it for me.
Weighted. And of course, it's heated, and it vibrates.
Come on,
bruh,
come on, buddy.
It's a massage weighted heating pad, and I often forget. Like, I'll hear it and feel it in the bed, and be like, "Oh, what's that?" Because it feels like there's like a dynamo or some type of turbine, airplane turbine running.
Is that what it feels like?
Yo, yeah, because the bed would be quiet, and then it's like, I'm like, whoa, what's oh crap, that's your heating pad. Yeah, it's a super high tech. It's cool. It's cool. The times that I've used it, I was like,
say this.
Yeah,
a non-weighted, I can handle a non. Vibrating one, but a non-weighted one is a waste of time. Does it even touch you? I don't think so.
It's
how do I know that thing's on?
It's actually cumbersome. It's a challenge because it's moving. Now it's non-weighted, it's moving, and you got to keep adjusting and moving it around.
It's so thin in comparison. It's crazy.
Yeah, no one asked for that. Yeah. All right.
So the heating pad definitely lulled me into quite the slumber this morning that left me waking up late.
So, ending this production meeting, there'll be no episodes from the bed.
Not from the bed. No. I did like how Michelle called it a bed in, which makes me want to do it.
Yeah. All right, Michelle, keep workshopping it.
Maybe I need something to support my back in the bed.
Gotcha. All right.
I can't just sit in the bed.
Yeah.
And just hang out. That's not a thing.
Did your parents ever have those in-bed pillows? Do you remember those?
They had, I do.
The arms and the back one is like really thick.
I just remember my grandma having one of those. Okay. My parents never did.
My mom had one of those. And my grandma.
My parents had a million pillows in their bed, but they were all like, you need to throw those pillows away. You know what I mean? They're all flat. That's what I'm having that flash right now of like a million pillows. That's not the case. Not the case anymore. But yes, as a younger, in my younger youth.
Totally off topic.
Yeah.
No, totally on topic, but not anywhere near the news. How old were you when you spent your own money and bought your first pillow?
Oh, probably like 15.
See, and this is what I'm talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe 14.
There is an advancement within women. There's a maturity. There is a inclination to domestication and homemaking. No. You hear that? You hear that?
I don't
know. She's buying pillows at 15, you know, because she's already thinking, I have to make my home.
That's what not what I was thinking. That's not what I was thinking at all.
Do you know how old I was when I bought my first pillow? Like, oh my gosh.
I think it might have been 3 months ago.
It for sure was late 20s.
Well, where did your pillows come from before then?
There were pillows that I took with me from my parents' house to my house.
And then you kept those pillows?
And then I just kept those pillows. And then, like, I was, like, in a Ross or a TJ Maxx or something in that ilk. There's a third store that goes in there. I can't remember it. I was in one of those stores. And, like, there's these big, huge, fluffy pillows. I mean, these things are, mind you, they're probably just regular medium-sized pillows. Mm. But I'm like, whoa. Huh.
Maybe I should have some of that.
Let me try one of these. I want to buy two because I don't know if I need it, right?
Oh, my word, Bird.
Yeah. No. It's
oh, good. Gosh.
Let me get this one pillow and see what's up with it. Brought it home. Put it in a not new pillowcase, right? One of the
existing pillowcases. But also didn't clean it. You just took it off of the bed?
Well, no. It was a clean one. Okay. But it was just like, it's not like I went and got new pillows, new cases. I didn't do the thing right. To get the full advantage of this is what, you know, walk into your new life. So I put that thing in.
Walk into your and new life.
The way I slept that night, I was like, I was drooling. I was like, holy smokes.
Your whole life changed.
Whoa.
You didn't have a 42-year-old pillow.
No. I was like, I got to get another one of these. It was some years before I got another one.
Oh, my word.
Just
ambush.
You know, this thing's happening. And when I grabbed that second one, that's when I grabbed my first pair of new sheets. And let me tell you something. Now I want to know about thread count. What?
Got a text that says, good morning. My wife has like 10 pillows on the bed. It's too much, man. 10 pillows is too much.
Jordan knows it is too much.
Too much. Too many.
It's too many. It's too many. Also, shout out to Jordan knows. Production happening.
Mm.
Musical productions, looking to collab with some artists, some hip hop artists. You know what I'm saying? So I think I'm going to double check the DM, but I know we have some contact information for Jordan. Looking for some collabs, some local collabs, man. So any of our listeners are doing the hip hop music,
the rippity raps,
I rhyme and I rip.
I rip and I rhyme.
You're looking for someone to collab with. Some production, maybe something you haven't, you know, somebody you haven't collabed with yet. Looking for some new sounds. Looking to expand your catalog.
Mm.
Hit the DMs.
Yeah.
Hit the DMs.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just to wrap up the in bed.
Michelle, add it to the list. This is my fiance. pillow talk.
Mm-hmm. To wrap that up, number one, really important to change your pillows pretty frequently, especially if you are not like doing the deep soak kind of cleanse that what? You need to do to pillows.
It's soak?
Yes.
Okay. What?
The pillows are really gross. All of your things are.
I know.
Yeah. So Kirby. So you actually just probably haven't really thought about it, but no. They're disgusting. And so you need to. So I wash our pillows, but I don't have anywhere to even put a deep soak and then have them. I don't even have that. Like a space for that.
Because then you got to have spare pillows while do you dry? Do you throw them in the dryer?
No.
They got to air dry.
Yeah.
So you got to have backup pillows.
Backup pillows.
That's a whole new concept for me. Having a closet big enough to have backup pillows.
Talk to them. Elitist. Not something we have.
This is elitist.
Also that. I'm not, you know. But to be clear, when I was 15 and buying pillows, it was not to build my home or learn to, or whatever. What?
You were learning to be a good wife, you were saying.
I was not learning to be a good wife. I don't think that I know how to do that now.
Pish posh.
I was doing it because I got really interested in like changing the decor of my room pretty frequently.
Oh.
So that was a thing for me. I would buy myself like new sheets and a new comforter so that I could change the feel of my room, or be like, can I paint it again? And then I would ask for like paint and stuff like that for birthdays so that I could paint my room and then redecorate.
How often is it seasonal? How often did you change your room around? And were you like just
with
changing
paint,
sheets?
It wasn't seasonal. It around? I changed my room a lot.
Okay.
Like the configuration of it and all of that. Yeah. Like I changed that a lot.
How long did it take you to find the configuration that worked? Two-part question. How long did it take you to find the configuration that worked? And how often did you find yourself going back to a previous configuration?
Well, that's a good two-part question, Ambush.
Okay. You're supposed to say thank you for that question.
Thank you for that question. It was a good one. I don't know. Unsure.
You got a text. Fiance, fantastic rising off my satin pillowcase. I know that's right.
Listen.
I drool on satin, bro.
So the satin pillowcase, I was never a fan of like silk or satin sheets. But then it's like, if I forget you, the satin pillowcase is important for hair care.
Yeah.
Especially if you are me who can easily forget to wrap their hair or throw the bonnet on. And I just jump in the bed and I'm watching a movie. Whoops, I fell asleep. Ambush can tell you he has to come take the glasses off my face very often, plug my phones in because I go to sleep.
It's part of my evening routine. It's if I come in the room or I'm getting ready to bed and she doesn't have her glasses, at least in the bed somewhere, because sometimes MJ, she'll take them off but put them in the bed. She doesn't always. It's very rare that you fall asleep with them on. More than likely you're taking it off and put it in the bed. But the phones are definitely in the bed.
Well, candy's got to get crushed.
Yeah, 8 times out of 10 those phones are in the bed. So if I come into the room and her glasses are off and on her nightstand and the phones are charging,
don't even know what to do. Is she mad at me?
Yeah, this is strange. This is strange air we're breathing right now. But yes, it's definitely part of my routine. Oh, let me get up because we'll be in the room. You'll fall asleep before I do sometimes. And then I'm ready to fall asleep. Oh, let me roll over. See, oh, phones are here. Now get up, grab them phones, walk them around. See if she's got her glasses on. I used to have to check to see if you had your
mouth guard,
but you're good with that. Like as soon as as soon as your butt hits the bed, mouth guard.
Yeah.
Mouth guard. I'm not. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to do a lot of talking. Yeah. And if I fall asleep and I don't have my mouth guard in, that's a surefire way to have a head on fire and teeth that hurt. And
just in shambles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole different kind of headache. Does anybody else like clench? I don't grind, but I clench, apparently. And I need new mouth guards because all three of mine I've been through. So, which is actually insane, that's right? Like there's gotta be something wrong with her. Her is me.
Hit me, guys. Yeah, well, it's like what's your pound per inch?
Right.
With the
I don't understand power. Any of those things you're saying. But I know that someone does.
What?
In the beginning of understanding what was happening, because I was getting really, I mean, the headaches were bad, but it wasn't like, oh, this is a migraine. It's like, this is, why does every joint in my face, like, you know? And it was like, well, you're like, it's like 2,000 pounds of pressure,
right,
or something like that.
Ooh.
I don't understand. I
can feel it. Everywhere after crunching.
Everywhere.
Just, yeah.
So yes, I'm a get on the plane, put my mouth guard in. There's not going to be any talking. I'm looking to fall asleep. If there's any sort of travel,
I got
popping it in.
I recently have been dealing with crunching. Like I've noticed myself do it, and this is like waking hours.
But like crunching. Just really tight jaw.
Yeah, and just the a little bit of time that it's happening when I notice it. When I stop, I have to do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling it like, wow, okay, I couldn't imagine like doing that for hours at night. Like
the whole time you're asleep?
I'd be wrecked. I would wake up wrecked, bro.
I
would feel exhausted.
My canines are flat.
Ugh.
If anyone is there a dentist listening? like my canine teeth are flat from clenching. Learned that somewhere along my travels.
Ooh. So Jura says, I got an 800 count Pima cotton pillowcase. Soaks up the drool really well. Satin and silk smear.
Yeah, satin and silk, this is the problem. There for me, well, I don't know myself to be a drooler, but I get hot with those sometimes. Like, I need a breathable fabric.
Yeah.
Those aren't breathable, right? That's the...
They barely.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. I was like, damn, you need to get that stress out. You do. Yeah.
I mean, I hard agree.
Yeah.
But also, is it just that? Because it's been for a very long time.
Oh, with you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So I saw something today.
Oh, man. That's just, oh man.
It's pretty good.
My whole body just deflated.
Don't.
Too late.
A black man on another black man's podcast, and he's talking about some experiences he's been having with his therapist and how there have been, you know, domino effects of diagnosis and emotions that lead to another that we're not really, we're not really identifying in the proper order. And he said, he was talking to his therapist and he was trying to classify behavior. And he was like, yeah, this is just my ADHD. And she said, no, it's not your ADHD. You do have ADHD. This particular situation is not your ADHD. It's your anxiety about this situation that's making you do that behavior, which falls under your ADHD, but the issue is not your ADHD; it's your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So when you just start talking about, like, you know, is it stress for you to have been doing it that long? You know, maybe stress is not the cause. It may be
maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know adult life without incredible stress. I've not lived a stress-free adult life.
Fair.
I do not remember. I definitely was not grinding or clenching my teeth as a kid.
Mm. Well, I'll say this. As a general rule, when you're just trying to get to the bottom of it, hey, just asking questions. You know? When you are short, do some shopping in the marketplace of ideas.
You know?
Huh?
You know? Pick one up.
Put something in the cart.
You know? See where it takes you.
Oh my God.
Well, speaking of places you can go, one Renee Gonzalez
sorry. The last text. Okay, I'm saying all this talk about bedding, pillows, fancy sheets. I'm going back to bed. I mean, in all fairness.
Same. Rene Gonzalez got a job. I know everybody was worried about it. They was like, oh my God, what is Nene going to do anymore? He ain't got nowhere to go.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
I know there was worry. And I want to just, you know, not going to spend story time on this, on him, but you may remember he had an illustrious law career before starting that Ed 300, get our kids back in schools to kill them, but also not really down with those LGBTQ plus ones. We don't really know about them.
Right. Are they even real?
He's going to be general counsel for Jubits, for the Jubits Corporation.
Gas stations.
If you're familiar, well, trucking and fuel delivery, okay, babe?
Sorry.
Just a gas station around there.
For trucks.
Big trucks. Jubits was quite the significant donor. I think top donor for both his city council run and his mayoral bid, which did fail. If we want to give it a round of applause for that real quick. Woo! Failure.
Failed mayoral bid.
Woo! Yeah. Woo. Woo, yeah. yeah, he's going to go ahead and be general counsel for Jubits. If you're like me and you somehow missed his last day of work for the city, which I really am peeved.
Yeah.
I would have partied like it was 1999.
Yes. When was it? What were we doing that day?
I'm unsure.
How dare us?
But he did drop a little tort claim out as he was heading out the door. He was like, since nobody did what they needed to, they stopped. He filed a tort claim against the city alleging inadequate response to threats made against him and other elected officials.
Absolutely.
What he meant by that is, you guys didn't look into the arson of the car in front of my house the way that I wanted you to. It also did not win the election for me. And I think that had you had paid attention to it the way you were supposed to when I set my father-in-law's car on fire, or whoever in-law's car that was, no one paid attention enough and it backfired on me. And now it's your fault. Now, I want everybody to remember that this is a person who ran against Joanne Hardesty, and while doing that, did a very many amounts of racist and misogynistic things.
Right.
Also spread the story of her doing a hit and run, which she didn't do. His cronies were like, "Ooh, let us go tell that story real loud." A person who says that nobody should be a strain on the system. He talks about the way that, you know, we need to make law enforcement take it seriously and fund it while so that you can always call it when you set your car on fire. He has wasted the city's resources multiple times over and over and over again. And on the way out, he's like, and by the way,
I'll have you know, sir,
if you don't just leave.
See yourself out.
Like, we have no reason to ever have to talk about you again. And I know that hurts. That's the last thing you want to hear. And to be clear, that's not even true. We have plenty of reason to still talk about you. You did a lot of damage to our city.
You did.
You still have people out here believing things that are not true, that they can't see. Like, that they're saying it's happening, but they've never seen it.
Don't live here.
Like, the amount of damage, that short amount of time, that short man did. Outlandish.
I'm happy it's gone.
Me too.
I'm also happy. I feel like we should have, like, thrown a, like, online party, something. you know, live streamed, played We Are the Champions.
Oh, on his last day?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really sad we didn't know, we weren't prepared. That wasn't on our calendar.
It wasn't. Going out party.
Oh, we could have called it Going Out Sad. But then... with a bunch of like, yes, and like nothing but vindicated, you know, victory lap style music, but definitely big sad Renee heads on sticks so that you could
be, yeah, like, oh, the sad face, yeah, yeah. Lily would have knocked that out.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep. We're gonna have to figure out how to do this different symbolic day. I don't know.
I want it. So we can celebrate it annually. I want it.
Anyway, what are we talking about today? We are going to talk about Mayor Keith Wilson.
Ruffling some feathers.
Showed up and was like, hey guys. It's my first day of work, and I'm here to say everybody's coming back to the office because we love each other, and we like to hold hands and do water cooler talk. And then the city was like, boo! No! No! Ooh, no, we don't want it! Pass! No! And he's doing the moonwalk right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about two different PPS. The school district approved their cell phone
ban policy.
Yeah. It does not appear to be working.
Or popular.
It was certainly not popular. But I don't think it's working the way they intend. If you have kids at PPS,
ooh,
that, yeah, have cell phones.
Yeah. That workarounds.
I am in fact interested to know what your kid has come up with. Have they told you their workaround? Ours did. It was pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
And in national news, we're going to talk about the wildfires in California. The January wildfires happening right now. Major devastation.
Yeah.
And the fallout. What's the fallout from something like that when you have an incoming administration who thinks you should privatize everything? Right. Because that's my worry. That's my worry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. P-Town said, I sent Renee a card. Bye.
Bye, son. Out of here, fam. See you on your next journey.
I don't know what I want to hear, you know, mm-hmm, in the upcoming music break, but make my shoulders move, if you would.
All right. All right. Oh, okay. I make your shoulders move. I got you. We'll catch y'all after the break. And welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. If you want to join the conversation, you want to get in on the talkings, you know, 971-220-5979. Again, 971-220-5979. 5979. I slowed it down that second time as a shout out to Brooke, because there was a time when Brooke would say, hey man, I want to text him, but say the number too fast. That was like a year ago.
You talk too much.
Shout out to
going, you know, too fast, sir.
Shout out to our fiancés.
Shout very
out,
much.
Shout out.
I should just take a quick moment before we move into stories, to say, not just a shout out, humongous thank you, hugs all around to all of the fiancés who have checked in on me,
yeah,
for all of the really kind words, for folks treating me like, you know, they in the South and making sure we eat.
Yes. Yeah.
Big thank you. So I am having many medical emergencies with the women on my side of the family. There are three of four sisters remaining in that little, my mom and two of her sisters in that coven. And the three of them are being a lot right now. They've all got their own issues. But it's like, well, one of you's in ICU. I'll do it too. Huh?
Being a lot.
I'll also be there. Nobody, they don't want to be where they are, but they, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a very, very hard week. It's been a hard couple of months with one, and then a very hard week with having all three of them having some pretty major ailments and issues. And I'm going to find ways to laugh about these kind of things, because otherwise I just cry.
Yeah.
I lose the day.
Yeah.
And when we were younger, Lily and I were talking about this, when we were younger, the moms would just, they would make jokes like, you know, well, we'll just all have to die together kind of thing. Like, it'll be the three of us. They owned a flower shop and we were with them a lot at the flower shop. So we heard a lot of them bantering as sisters. Mm-hmm. And as soon as one of the second one goes into ICU, I was like, now, wait a minute.
Slow down, guys. Nah.
And Lily was like, do you remember this? They were saying that. Mm-mm. It's like, well, it's not happening, but yeah, it's happening.
No.
But that's what we're currently, how we're coping with this, is laughing at the fact that they would talk about this kind of thing previously.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are a little touch and go. It is not everything's going to be back to normal, and
adjustments got to be made.
Adjustments will have to be made. And sometimes a Monday show might not happen, or a Thursday show might not happen, depending on the circumstances. And I, in advance, thank everybody for their understanding and their caring, and know that we want nothing more than to be healthy enough and mentally healthy enough to be doing the show.
Yeah.
Because it really is the highlight for me, is getting to do this. So it's hard. Like, we didn't do the show on Monday, and I was not capable of doing the show on Monday. No. But she
was going to do it. Like, there, your incapability, like, I felt that. Mm. But I also felt like you've done it often in the past, where it's like, show must go on, which is where I live.
Right.
You usually just hop in the passenger seat. Okay, we're heading to Show Must Go On Town. And you were already preparing yourself for Show Must Go On. And I'm like, not today.
Yeah.
It was a nail.
Which I really appreciated you taking the lead there on that. But it's something I look forward to. So it's like, oh, I don't want to not do the thing I really look forward to. But I wasn't capable. I would not have been able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, big love and hugs. Big thanks. This community is really amazing, and I don't want to have to need this kind of support, but I'm very thankful for the support that is there.
Yeah.
Pete Town said love and hugs. Love and hugs. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you all.
Morgan Jones.
That's me.
Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
I don't know if inside jokes are appropriate on the radio, but man, that one's gonna get me every time.
Oh my god. If you are not familiar, please, you guys know we're huge fans of what we do in the shadows, and that fandom led me down another rabbit hole, and I pulled Morgan into it. Stephen Toast of London, it is a hilarious show. There's tons of clips on the YouTube and the Grams, things of that nature. Treat yourself. And I think it's like, it's on Roku for free, the first two seasons.
Oh, very cool. There's
Toast of Hollywood, because then it goes to the U.S.
Well, someone's got to.
Yeah. The cameos, stellar, top to bottom. Just amazing.
Almost everything that guy does, Matt Berry, everything Matt Berry does, it's questionable what year it is.
Yeah.
Like, it could be produced yesterday, but it will still look like 1974.
Yep.
Maybe 82.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh. All right, we're gonna move on.
All right.
All right. We got a text. Morgan needs a relaxing vacation in the Gulf of America.
Oh, who was
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Woo. Bruno. Send me to.
I knew it. I knew it.
Was it Bruno?
Yes. I knew it without even looking. Oh, my God.
Good morning, Bruno.
Oh.
Gulf hey, Harper. Of America. You out there? That Gulf of America is hilarious. Is it not? I mean, we're not going to move into the Trump talk just yet.
Right.
But LOL. First of all, let me buy Greenland because I got enough on my credit card. And also, too.
And I get cash back.
3%. I get points. I'm going to get a flight out of this. And also, on my other card, before I max it out, Gulf of, just put a gold sign there in the Trump font that says Gulf of America. Because we're just doing a licensing deal. This isn't like we're actually going to take anything right. on, you know, or help people in the Gulf
of America.
Of America.
That is an interesting point. Once the renaming happens... Because it is now the Gulf of America.
Well, the Gulf.
Do you feel.
They don't take care of the people in the Gulf of Mexico that are in America. This man just doesn't even understand how things, none of it works. So he's like, just stop calling it that. Like, because that'll stop them from coming over or something, you yeah. know? Like. He doesn't realize that he's talking about where he's talking about.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. This man draws lines on hurricane paths that are out there. All right. So in local leadership, Mayor Keith Wilson's walked back a return to work mandate for Portland City employees. And let me tell you something. I was only made aware of this by one of those Portland hater accounts. One of our frequently aforementioned hater accounts. And I was like, ooh, you mad?
Are they big mad?
You big mad.
Wait, so they were like, yes, return to work. This is what a mayor says to do. Right. Is that what?
Although this isn't the mayor that they wanted, but.
Well, of course not.
Yeah, the return
Renee
to work.
Renee Gonzalez is working as general counsel for Jubit's Fuel.
If I'm correct, he doesn't have his law license,
or trucking
right?
corporation. Like... Yeah, no, he does. He's
okay.
a lawyer.
Okay. I thought there was like something that needed to be renewed that he hadn't done.
I mean, that's probably true. Who knows? I don't know. But he's not like Jordan Peterson. Right. Like he hasn't like lost his loss license.
Right. Right.
But then still says he's the thing. Mm. Yeah. No. He's a lawyer.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
So just weeks before taking office, Portland Mayor Keith Wilson faced criticism over comments about increasing the required in-office work days for city employees. On December 4th, on a December 4th call with over 1,000 city staff, Wilson proposed requiring 4 in-office days per week.
Insanity!
A notable increase from the current 20-hour minimum implemented on January 2024 by former mayor...
Tevis Wheeler.
Tevis. I'm trying to think of one of the other clever names we have. It's Tear Gas Ted? Yeah. Anyway. The proposal sparked immediate backlash from city employees and labor unions who warned it could lead to staff departures.
Which is, in fact, the point.
Yes. So you saw that other story. Man. By Friday, Wilson had reversed course. In a statement shared by his chief of staff, Aisling Coughlin, Wilson confirmed that the city would not mandate a full return to offices in 2025, citing budget constraints and ongoing efforts to address homelessness as key reasons for the shift. Given the current budget constraints and our ongoing efforts to address unsheltered homelessness, the return of staff to the office will not be feasible in 2025. What was the official
statement? That's crazy.
Mm, just not feasible. Instead, the mayor plans to explore alternative strategies to increase in-person reporting for city employees in 2025. While reiterating his belief that staff returning to job sites is crucial to achieving city goals, Wilson acknowledged that transitioning to more in-office work will not happen instantly. And you know how people want it. They want it now. They want it instantly. They want what they want. Doesn't matter how they get it. The initial push for more office time aligns with broader trends in government and corporate settings. As employers seek to rebuild in-person collaboration after years of remote work during the pandemic. However, Wilson's comments underscore tensions between management goals and employee preferences for flexibility. Unions representing city employees voice concerns that requiring additional in-office workdays would exacerbate retention challenges and hurt morale, particularly as Portland continues grappling with financial constraints and social issues such as homelessness. The mayor's decision to reconsider reflects broader challenges in balancing operational goals, worker satisfaction, particularly in a workforce increasingly accustomed to hybrid work arrangements. Wilson is expected to unveil his revised strategy in the coming weeks. The mayor's office emphasized that addressing homelessness remains a top priority for the administration, highlighting the need to allocate resources effectively while navigating complex workforce dynamics.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They're wasting your time. They're wasting your money. They're playing in your face. I'm yelling about it. Return to work is return to control.
Facts.
They are just trying to control certain things, which is really funny to me that this is the same group of people that have yet to figure out how to actually work any of the surveillance software they're using on their own employees. They just don't, just, I don't know. All the things you want to know is knowable.
Right.
So it's not about productivity.
Exactly. I was going to say it's a return to control, but it's not a return to results.
No.
Yeah.
But work also isn't all the way about results, if you have noticed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There are too many jobs, too many stories, too many times where, like, you could do that at work and not get fired. Like,
right.
So you didn't produce anything for how many years, Matt Gaetz? And you was just getting job after job, you know?
Kicking in the office. Huh?
So we know there are a few things. One, it's control. It's mostly real estate. The amount of money, and I don't know how every company handled this, obviously. But a lot of just expenses of commuting to work have always fallen on the employee, the worker.
Yep.
So however it takes me to get to there, I have to pay for that. I have to, you know, child care, whatever the situation is, those are all on me. Mm-hmm. When working from home became a thing, I remember saying, this is drastically changing my internet.
Oh, I do remember you saying that.
Like, is some, like,
who's going to pay for this?
Is someone, are you guys going to pay for that? This is drastically, like, the amount, because, and it wasn't just me, to be fair, we're all home. So kids are doing school from home. Like,
right.
Everything changed. But it was, hey, man, now I'm incurring the cost of your office building.
Yep. Yep. I never even considered
that. That wasn't a thing that was reimbursable for me during my time in employment there. I don't know if that has changed or what. But I know using your personal cell phone as your now business phone and your internet usage, depending on however you pay for the internet, increasing. They don't want, I know that there are companies that pay a stipend of some sort. They don't want to have to deal with that. But that is the least of their worries. Their biggest worry is retaining their real estate investments and increased control over their employees.
Yeah.
If they can make sure they're ruining your day, they can see it on your face. It's not a Zoom that you can close, you know?
Yeah. If the real estate market was different and they could benefit from selling, I feel like they do that. Also, not pay your internet bill.
Right.
Also, make you have all the surveillance software. They'd be like, hey, man, the less for us to pay for it and we're making money in this real estate, yes, stay home. And then we're going to triple your work from home. Well, since you're home.
Yeah.
Since you're home anyway.
You really need that. You don't need to leave for lunch, right?
Boom. That's where I was going to go next. You need a break for it. You're on your couch.
Well, I mean, you can definitely have a break, I guess, because you have to. But
the eye roll. Yeah. That's real talk.
I mean, I really want folks to understand, if you're answering phones, if there's stuff you're doing, they already know how many calls you take a day.
Yeah.
This is not about productivity. It is about not knowing how to do the, like, bigger bosses not knowing what to do when it comes to, now there's no need for a middle manager. Now there's no need for someone who's basically overseeing the staff, right? Because it's a completely different situation now. Mm-hmm. And if all these meetings are remote and all these things are all just mandates coming from a bigger boss anyway, you might as well get rid of the middle management and send it in an email.
It's such an archaic framework. It really is. And shout out to the companies and organizations that have found ways to really embrace this hybrid model and also aren't requiring their employees to come back to work in person and understand, you know, some of the challenges that that causes and that people are facing. Like, one thing, sure, transportation, you know, the cost of transportation, but this is also just the time. You know what I'm saying? That's like,
absolutely. Yeah. I know a lot of workplaces that will either give you discounted or free
bus passes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public transportation. There are a lot of folks who don't live near a line, mm-hmm. or, you know, don't have the ability to get to their next thing as quickly as they need to from that job. So they can't, you know, they've got to drive.
Yeah.
They got to get to the next gig.
Yeah.
You know, there's also this, to the point of productivity. Many studies show that people are more productive at home, the mm-hmm. less opportunity for water cooler talk, the less opportunity for people to come in your office and sit down and talk for 20, 30, 45 minutes before you are headed to a meeting or after a meeting. Or like, the amount of times that a lot of my day was talking through different people's issue mm-hmm. with whatever we were working on. And not the thing we were working on, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a lot.
And then how long did it take you to get back to the place where you could start working?
You do that when you get home.
On your own internet.
On your own internet, on your own time.
While preparing for dinner.
While doing all the other things, you get the actual work done at home. So like, yeah, this is it is not about productivity or efficiency. They are absolutely, you know, prioritizing visibility.
Yeah.
And perception.
To what end?
To what end?
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. Rudo says, hey, back to life, back to reality, back to the foolish office game.
That's good.
Yeah, it's, I just wish, whoa. Yeah, so
I don't know what happened there. Yeah. Sorry, friends, if you heard that.
I just wish we lived in a society that embraced reality and data more directly. Like, really loved on it. Like, ooh, the data shows this, and man,
well, freaking luck.
Yeah.
The Zuck ruined that for all of us. I'm going to tell you this about that. Right now, opened that door in 2016, and now here we are. Data, facts.
What are those?
Reality.
Yeah, that recent move with the eliminating fact checking and going to community notes. Someone said, I think part of his statement was that, you know, fact checking tends to, it's not objective, it tends to lean left. And somebody responded, so what you're saying is leftists like to deal with facts. We more embrace facts. Cool.
Hello. This text says, ooh, so this walk back to was cloaked in homelessness. I want to be clear about that. what else would it be? Okay. If I'm not going to fix it, if that's not going to happen, I'm going to have to talk about it though. And this is to signal, whoa, I almost wasted some precious resources here on a thing I shouldn't have. And you know what? I'm new to this, guys. Okay. Give me a little break, skis.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. Learning curve. Right. I remember now. Homelessness. Mm. That's where we've got to put our eye on the ball.
Learning curve.
I'm already so. What's the word? Like, because disappointed isn't the word. It's just like, dang, you mediocre already? you're going to. You gonna mid us to death in the beginning? You ain't really started yet? Mans ain't done nothing but make declarations and walk back so far.
Hey, slow down.
I'm coming in strong. No, I'm not.
How do we define strong?
I wanted to say this and never mind. Because return to work is like such a ridiculous signal of that whole idea that we're going to return to normal. And watching us not adapt to these things in the way that is best for people should not be surprising for Morgan. I know, but incredibly disappointing to every chance we have been given.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in like, oh, yay, another chance to these are not our favorite kinds of opportunities. But in a pandemic, we saw the solutions were not for the people. The means testing, the what needed to happen in order for people to get these paltry little things of their tax money, while you could just put your name on a Google form if you were rich and they would just send you millions of dollars.
Bruh.
I'm pretty sure that's all they had to do. It was like little Wayne PPP loan, 10 million.
I love the Carter.
And then someone just wired money to rich people. Because excuse me, what do you mean they didn't have to do anything? Meanwhile. Arguing about $1,400 payments, telling people receiving those payments, telling people we shouldn't be getting these. So backwards.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, not at all. Tex and Brooke, a comrade shared last night with me. They've been thinking about withholding of information. Take that to systems, companies, and how they withhold information as a tool of
hiring. Hello.
Keeping you busy commuting, spending your money and time equals limitation, power, and control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your comrade is right.
Yep. The withholding of information creates the conditions and needs for bosses.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's been a while since I've been in that environment, but yeah. Quite often going into your boss's office to find out. Yeah.
All the time.
What's going on?
There's one person who can give you information and then.
And then they're on break.
And then, and then a middle manager gets that information from that boss and then gives it to, you know what I mean? Speaking from that position, this is not me. I want to be very clear. No shade to people in middle management positions. Right. Solidarity for sure. It is a real bad place to be. You know what I mean? It's just not. Withholding information absolutely creates the conditions and needs for bosses. 1,000%. I think we're going to do a quick music break before we jump into the next story.
PBS, John.
But we're going to talk about PPS before we get to the wildfire, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. And we are back. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Let's hop into this PPS because, yes, it's important that we have some time in the end to talk about the wildfires.
Portland Public Schools to reaffirm rights of undocumented students amid policy update.
I know that's right.
PPS, Oregon's largest school district, is set to vote Tuesday evening on a resolution reaffirming the rights of undocumented students and updating its protocols regarding immigration and customs enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, and their access to local schools. The move comes just weeks before President-elect Donald Trump's second inauguration, during which he is expected to implement mass deportation policies he has described as unprecedented.
Great.
He doesn't know what that word means, though. PPS originally passed a similar resolution in 2016 following Trump's first election, aligning with several Oregon districts, including Salem-Keizer Public Schools, that adopted or reaffirmed sanctuary policies aimed at protecting immigrant students. Oregon has a longstanding history of implementing such measures, supported by state laws that prohibit the use of public resources to enforce federal immigration laws and protect students' education records from being used in immigration actions. The updated resolution enhances the district's stance by integrating best practices developed since the original policy was adopted 8 years ago. Under the proposed guidelines, PPS employees will continue to be barred from releasing student information, including immigration status, without parental consent. Additionally, ICE agents will not be permitted to pass the front office without a court order or similar authority. Ba, 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 ba.
Right.
Portland schools are committed to remaining a safe environment for all students, regardless of their immigration status, the resolution states. District leaders emphasize that their priority is safeguarding the educational experience and emotional well-being of students. Superintendent Guadalupe Guerrero and the district's general counsel will retain the authority to verify the credentials of ICE agents. Guadalupe is not the superintendent.
Things on a way
anymore.
Out.
Okay. So. The resolution also explicitly prohibits district staff from providing information for assistance to ICE for civil immigration law enforcement purposes. The initiative reflects broader efforts across Oregon districts to reaffirm protections for immigrant students amid heightened national immigration enforcement rhetoric. PPS officials noted that updating the resolution was essential to maintain alignment with state laws and evolving best practices. The school board's meeting to vote on the resolution will take place at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Approval would ensure that the district sanctuary policies remain robust and continue to meet the needs of its diverse student population.
That is reassuring to hear. Very. I remember being in a meeting at Evergreen School District, and some of the community stakeholders in that meeting that work with the students throughout the school year mentioned that as an issue, because this meeting was directly after the election, like the following week after we got the election results. And it hadn't really occurred to me, because a lot of the work that I did with the youth was in our own spaces. It wasn't necessarily in the schools. So, you know, in our own spaces, I'm definitely going to do whatever we can to protect, you know, students. But it just hadn't come across, you know, my line of thinking of, wow, what needs to happen in these schools? What policy changes need to take place in these schools as a direct result of what Trump is attempting to pull off? And it was reassuring to hear just those early conversations, and now see something like this, you know, district-wide happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you look like you were going to say something, so I didn't want to. Okay. All right. Well, along with that,
It's incredibly important that ICE has no access without a court order, mm-hmm. without, especially in this time. It would make it even scarier if you were in a position of being rounded up and you don't have your cell phone. And PPS started this cell phone policy a while ago. That no cell phones. I think there's been an addition of like no smart watches or whatever. But you've got to hand your cell phone in when you come into the building, and you have to have someone unlock it, unlock your little pouch to get your phone on egress.
The only exception was for students with disabilities.
And so if you are a student who is locking up your phone with the thing, that's an added layer of who am I supposed to talk to? How am I supposed to talk to my parents? What am I supposed to do? I know that for our kid, that was the thing of if somebody comes in here, if there is a school shooting,
right?
I don't have my phone to say anything, which I think is valid.
Absolutely.
You know, it's too much of a major concern and something that can happen in our schools, and we don't take seriously enough, not just the safety and security of schools, because what that does not mean metal detectors, and it does not mean officers. Right. Like,
right.
It's very much the, we'll find a way to get more police going when there's no freaking reason to have more police going. I do understand that cell phones are distracting, and that, you know, the kids that are in school right now have never not had phones, or, you know, like they've had them or access to the internet for a very long time. So it is hard to keep them on task if they have their phones and also these other things too.
Yeah. You know, I think if you saw stronger efforts to address the concerns of student safety, then it would be a little bit easier for us to get on board. But, you know,
nationwide, and explain it to kids too, yeah, of why this is important rather than just seeming like a punitive,
yeah,
measure. Sorry.
Why this is important. And then also to address your concerns, these are the steps that are in place. I understand you're thinking, what if someone enters the school and there's an emergency? We've been thinking about that too. As a reaction to that, there's been preparation for that. These are things that you have accessible to you, blah, 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 blah. But if on, you know, on a national stage, all students are getting is thoughts and prayers, and it's like, whatever, dude, I can't trust you. I can't trust you to keep me safe. Yes, maybe, like you said, you know, there's a degree of distractions and you got the cell phones with you, but isn't that also another issue? You know what I'm saying? If we're talking about student attention, retaining that attention, is there something that needs to change in the lesson plans? And listen, I am no... I am no high-level educator. I don't want to... This is not taking shots at teachers. I want to be clear about that. Clear about that.
Yeah.
They are completely under-resourced. I'm just saying, you know, kids are already finding workarounds for this. They already are. And you're right. They did extend and expand to smartwatches, too, which was the initial workaround. You want to take my phone? Cool. I'll have my watch. But the kids are finding workarounds to all of this. So if we can create safer environments for the students altogether, I think that's a step in the right direction for many
reasons. Yeah. And to be clear, so this is now fully adopted by PPS. And so maybe at Grant, it was the rollout. But I'm like, okay, this is months ago. You know, this has been happening. And it pushed a lot of kids out. There are kids that our kid goes to school with that were like, I'm out of here. Like, it's too far.
Yeah.
Then I don't know that I would have been, you know, I don't even know that I would have thought it was you were able to switch schools or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, I didn't. It was like, I go to this school and then you graduate from that school. In my mind as a kid, the must go somewhere else or I've had it, I'm out of here. Never even dawned on me that was like, there's an alternative to this. But yeah, the idea that the, what are they calling it? Off and away. That's your phone is off and away. That's it's the off and away policy. You don't get your phone for lunch. Like,
yeah, that's wild.
There are so many kids that work. There are, you know, like, I just think about the amount of communicating that needs to happen throughout the day when you have a household that is really intertwined. Like, you know, if you have a junior or senior who is working, who has activities, who has, you know, like, you gotta coordinate.
You hit the nail on the head for me. If we have created a society where children, high school children, have to work, you cannot take their communication devices.
And I do mean have to. I don't mean,
yeah.
I don't mean I just want a job so that I can get like the shoes I want.
No.
I mean, there are a lot of kids that are working to help their parents pay the rent. They are working to pay their own rent. We are in a real bad financial situation as a country.
Yeah.
And the fallout from the ineffectiveness of the COVID response, the fallout of trying to over-police all of these situations rather than give resources to where they're needed. We got a lot of kids with a lot of broke parents right now.
Yeah. A lot of broke grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever they're even with.
Right.
Like you said, are paying their own little room and board
wherever they are.
Yeah. Caring for younger siblings. Like, it's a lot.
It's so much.
Yeah.
And to have those kind of responsibilities on a student, on someone so young, and then say, and also you're not responsible enough to have your phone with you. Man, if I was paying rent, I'd have a problem.
Could you imagine?
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm 17 and I'm paying rent, or I'm 17 and I'm feeding my family, if I'm 17 and I'm the one who takes care of my siblings when I get home from school, I'm having a problem.
Yeah. Hey, you're just a child. We need you to focus on your studies. I'd love to. Thanks.
Could you help me actually be able to do that?
What could you do about it?
Because this phone isn't the actual issue. The phone isn't the actual distraction.
Right.
But being in charge of other people when I leave here is a humongous distraction. It does make it hard for you to learn calculus.
Yeah.
It does make it hard to pay attention to the world history class when y'all not talking about the history that matters to what's happening right now.
Hey, I got to work on some tax prep. Could you teach me that in school?
Yo.
For my job.
If they could at any point teach you how to even start to read a W-2, the way that I watch people so intimidated just off of seeing a W-2, because they've never had one before.
A lot of words in that.
And I'm saying, like, teens, you know, they're incredibly intimidated by what that process is. There is nothing in high school that, when I was in it and when our kids have been in it now, where they're talking about how to do your taxes, why you would claim a certain thing, why you wouldn't claim a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, why not? You know that a lot of those kids work.
Right. And MJ, before, like, we've had this flood of children, high school children working, just as like a general point of education, this is something we've been talking about, has been in public conversation for decades.
Yeah.
I can remember, like, when we were in high school, how come they didn't teach us how to learn how to do our taxes? Like,
and we got lucky. Well, at least I got lucky in a lot of ways. I was still in the part of, you know, America's evolution or chapter. Whatever. Yeah, that chapter still had like home ec, and that chapter had woodshop. And there were practical life skills that I learned that I use today. Yeah. Right? That I know how to make certain things or fix certain things because of middle school. Mm-hmm. And because of those two things, woodshop and home ec. I learned how to balance a checkbook in seventh grade. That really helpful.
Yeah.
For when I got a bank account 2 years later or and whatever, you know?
It. You kept doing it.
You
took those skills into real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea that real life skills aren't that important, especially as we move away from a society that shares truths.
Right.
I don't know a different way that agrees on what is true and what isn't. And then you can like the thing that's true that sucks for others, but you at least know it's true.
Right.
And now it's like, no, but that thing isn't even true.
It's not even true.
That didn't even happen, or it didn't happen that way, or you enslaved yourself, or, you know, whatever the thing is that you read on 4chan that now is actually like the thing that you move through the world with.
It's interesting.
We don't agree on anything, so it makes it real hard. I'm sorry, I just
got to say it's interesting how both of our minds went to, was slavery real? In fact, I thought it, and then you said it. I was like, well, all right.
Okay. I mean, if you are a person who is able to deny the existence of the Holocaust, you absolutely are able to deny the existence of the Atlantic slave trade.
Atlantic slave trade, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We do have a little bit of time left. It has been dominating our news cycle. I've spent what's going to be like my ninth year on the West Coast. I have not experienced this far, this up close. There were wildfires in prior years where we got ashes in Portland. And that was amazing to me. It was just like, whoa, like this is like watching something on the news. And then I walk outside and this is real life. Like, look at the haze, look at the air condition, like quality.
Yeah.
Air quality is like, whoa. What we've been seeing, the footage, the coverage is, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I'm so used to watching these wildfires tear through woodland areas. And to see this happening, it's going down city streets, it's going down neighborhoods. It started in a residential area. Seeing beachfront property completely decimated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not where these things happen. Media has played a huge part, in the climate denial situation, the climate change denial, atmosphere that we're dealing with right now. And now we're in this place, right, where things are happening and you want to look at the legislator, you want to look at the person that you were arguing with and be like, see? And to them, it's never been about facts. It's never been about reality.
Hello.
So they'll respond with something even more insulting. And then you're just spinning your wheels, wasting your time, when ultimately the way we should have been handling this from the beginning is, if you are denying science, you do not get a microphone.
Hello.
You do not get to come on the show. You're not an opposing view. You are creating a fantasy to mislead people. So no, you do not get that platformed. And we understand how the media cycles work. We understand what their purpose is, and you know, they want to get as many eyes on it. The more sensational, the better.
Sure.
But it's also how Trump ended up where he ended up. Mm. You know, like, there are things that I want to buy Greenland. Why are we talking about that? Stop. That it's utter nonsense. And he gets to be able to just say utter nonsense. And that's on the news. But when you ask him as a
PPS
strategies,
contemplating plans.
Yeah. But
what's the phrase? We have a
I forgot, yeah.
Dang.
Like, it's like we got plans on plans on plans.
Yeah, we're thinking about a plan.
Yeah.
We're working on thinking about having maybe a plan.
Yeah. But then you want to talk to me. You want to talk ad nauseum about things that are not real, that you didn't do, that aren't factual, that data does not support. And y'all keep the mics on for these people.
Yeah.
And now here we are. Climate scientists have been telling this. We are past the point of no return. We have been past that point for about 8-9 years now. We allowed the fossil fuel industries and all these major corporations and industries to mislead us into thinking that it's very interesting too, how, you know, climate change isn't real, but you need to do your part. Recycling.
Hello.
Buying these special light
bulbs. It's not man-made. So, and it's not man-cured. But in the meantime, might as well get out there and recycle all these things and compost. And no, you can't even have trash. Meanwhile, not a word to the fossil fuels.
Not a single word.
Meanwhile, absolutely rounding up, being physically violent and arresting anyone who protests. A pipeline.
Yeah.
Losing access to their water. Those are the problems. Those people are the issue. Not the fact that we are trying to make more ways for natural disasters to happen.
Right.
To expedite their abilities. So, sorry.
And they act as if natural disasters are a manageable thing. Like, it isn't the most unmanageable, millions of variables involved. They act like it's something that they can, I don't know, like they can just, well, if this happens, we'll just respond this way. Do you understand what it means to get back-to-back hurricanes? You can't. You know why? Because this stuff is unprecedented. What we're seeing hasn't happened. We're getting once-in-a-lifetime storms every year. So, no, there's no infrastructure. There's no way to plan and work out of this, not with the mindset that we've had, that they've had all this time. And now look where we are. Just like, this is, I've never seen anything like this.
This is terrifying. 100 gust winds. There are now 5 fires in LA. Let's see. Most of them are not contained. Some of them are, but they're not even in like the 50-60% contained. A lot of this is inaction, to your point. A lot of this is wanting, purposeful inaction as well. In LA, the budgets are different, and I know I'm trying to watch the time. But the budgets have changed, right? So I think their fire department lost something like 38. $30 million or something. And the police gained 140 or 138, something like that.
Someone was like, send the cops out there to fight the fires.
Took the budgets away. Don't do anything to mitigate any of what is incoming and then go, oh, no, whatever. I've never seen anything like it. Like, what?
Yeah.
And you've got Biden. I mean, this is an importance because you have heard us say things like, you know, if you have heard me say things like there's not a huge difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, that is a in context kind of statement. There's plenty of differences. One of which, here's Biden saying, you have our full federal support. We will make sure that we do everything that we can and we are supposed to on our end, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you have Trump blaming people, which is again absolutely incredible to me that none of this is man-made and none of this is a thing, but it is a man's fault and his name is Gavin.
Right.
Right. And calling him Gavin Newsom is so not clever. Like, I really want this man to learn how to be clever. I want his group of people to want to have better humor. Like, it's just
a better writer.
Just
something.
What in the world is happening? Anyway, he suggests that it's completely his fault and this is mismanagement of the state. And I don't even plan to give y'all money because your state's bad and you mismanage
it. It's a bad state
and a big bad state, bigly. And I don't want to give you money. And here then you have Canada, jokingly, but dang it, don't it sound great? Ooh. Like, shouldn't we just take the West Coast since you want? You want to buy us, not going to happen. But we'll take your West Coast.
You got an offer.
We already have alliances. We already got good things going. And here's what you get. Free health care. Free universal health care for Oregon, Washington, Californians.
Mm. Women's rights protected.
Oh, right to an abortion. Still there. Covered under the universal health care. All those gun deaths? Ha-ha! Mm. Not over here, guys. Mm. The way that she, I believe the best way to say it is, sunned the mess out of that man.
Super sunning.
Sign me up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got a good,
there's
Phil,
lots of texts.
Phil said, concepts of a plan.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
I could not remember it. Thank you. Thank you.
Phil concept said, greatest show on the sphere. Thank you, too, for such thoughtful commentary. Love you, too.
Thanks, Phil. Oh, I love you, Phil. Thank you.
Yes, concepts of a plan.
Concepts of a plan.
And as a journalist, you have to sit across from someone saying that to you.
Imagine!
I will not. You are listening to X-Way FM, KXRY, Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
You better, and thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
You better roll right into it. We late.
Thank you so much for listening. Today's show is brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba,
thank you so much for all the texts, conversations from you guys. Go ahead.
I do want to make the announcement that we meant to make at the top of the show that all the missed texts that have, and there's a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
All of those we will address on Instagram. New fun thing to do.
Yeah.
If there's something to address. There may be, you know, a day where we're just chit-chatting and there's nothing to really talk about. But if we have missed something and there's something to chat about.
Yes.
Roll on over to the Instagram because I'll be doing stuff over there.
Yeah. Shout out to our team. We had a really good meeting, team meeting at the top of the year. You guys are going to be seeing some changes in the show, some things we hope you love, and we're always open to feedback. But you know what it is? Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People are the profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. And we will catch you next Monday at 6:30 on the YouTubes.
Thanks for listening. Bye.